I'm very thankful to be here, just overjoyed to be here with you today. I want to invite you to turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. I owe such a debt of gratitude to God for giving me the time to study and to think and to pray and to write and to prepare, and it's just been an unbelievable personal blessing for me to study the book of 2 Corinthians. And I just pray every week that the time that I've been given to study and to pray and prepare would be a blessing for you as you've come to feed and worship God through the proclamation of the Word of God, that God would speak to you through His Word. Let's read together. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning in verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, please do the work of teaching, encouraging, just making the truth real to each heart. And dear God, that the message of the Bible in this paragraph, in this section, would ring true, and that for anyone who is suffering at the point of losing heart, that, dear God, the miraculous work of the Holy Spirit would lift them up and do the miracle of encouragement, allowing them to fight the good fight and finish the course and keep the faith until we see you. Speak through the broken man before you. Humble myself, dear God, before your people. We have the treasure in broken vessels. I come as the chief of sinners, the most broken vessel. And I pray your people would see that and hear that, and that they would just marvel at the truth, and that it would encourage us today, dear God, in Jesus' name, amen. Last week we started to introduce, look at verse 16, we just spent a whole week introducing this paragraph. Therefore, we do not lose heart. And today I want to continue to develop this theme in this passage that in many ways is a crown jewel of Scripture for anyone who is suffering in ministry or in the physical body. There's no better short statement in Scripture about the reality of suffering in this life and how to endure the natural outcome of the curse, which is sin, which produces difficulty in this life as believers wait for heaven, the redemption of our body. It is absolutely breathtaking for me. It's extraordinary at this season in my life. All of the sickness and disease and hurt and heartache that surrounds me, just everywhere. People here, right here today before you, people back home where we live, where we grew up, people in this town, friends, family, acquaintances, relatives, the amount of sickness and disease and struggle and heartache. It's one of the most difficult aspects of ministering, pastoral ministry. You're constantly, daily alerted to this reality of the curse and sickness in the physical body, difficulty in ministry for some. And make no mistake about it, this reality of the curse produces struggle in the body that's unimaginable for some. This curse that is real, that is literal, produces ministry, discouragement and frustration and pain and sorrow to the point where you'll be like Paul and you'll say, I despaired even of life as a minister. And all of this is the context of Paul's thesis in 2 Corinthians 4, 16 through 18. People in the early days in the primitive apostolic church, they were losing heart. They were giving up, they were giving in as they stared at the face of suffering. That is the inevitable consequence of living in a fallen world, in a cursed, fallen body. What does it mean to lose heart? I want to share the definition I was given as a young man. Quote, to become cowardly, timid, frustrated, faint-hearted, weak, hopeless, fearful. To lose boldness, bravery, courage, to become weary, faint-hearted, and quit. End quote. And all of that is in the context and related very much to the things of God. Try not to miss that. And this is happening to many, many untold numbers of people today in Christian circles, in our churches. They're losing heart. They're becoming timid, faint-hearted, weak, hopeless, fearful. They're losing their boldness, their bravery, their courage. They're becoming weary, faint-hearted. They're quitting the church and the things of God everywhere. And it happens to many people who start out well and quickly in the things of God. That's what should arrest our attention here. The older you get in the Lord, the more mature you become in the Word of God and the things of God, and the more you're around the people of God, the more you realize it's not how a person starts in the Christian life, it's how they finish. We said it last week in the last number of weeks. People start out well in the things of God, they get excited, we use that phrase, they become on fire for God, and they're the ones that we marvel at, and they're interested in doing and serving and all of these things. But like a fire that men pour gasoline that springs up in the dark night and it's bright, very quickly those flames decrease. And as the reality of time goes by, many become broken down by the reality of the curse, which touches everything. We spent a whole message developing this last week, and so we won't repeat all of the thoughts, but the summary of this, look at verse 14, please, with me in your Bible. Knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus, and will present us with you. Look at that with me in verse 14. This is the answer. 2 Corinthians is an autobiography of Paul's life of suffering as an apostle, as a pastor, as a man. He was being attacked personally. His message, his character was being assaulted. His physical body was breaking down from being physically beaten. His time on earth was becoming short, nearing its end. And for Paul, the resurrection is the ultimate antidote to not losing heart in life and ministry. In addition, please look at verse 15. For all things are for your sakes, so that the grace which is spreading to more and more people may cause the giving of thanks to abound to the glory of God. Paul knew that ministry was for the sake of others, those who would believe the gospel. It would multiply the gospel, it would multiply Christ, it would give glory to God the Father, and these are the building blocks of enduring suffering. This is the safeguard of not losing heart. Think with me. Any service, any ministry that you have, it is a gift. It is a gift from God to serve God, to be part of His team and ministry. And it is for the benefit, it is for the purpose of other people. It really has nothing to do with you. And it has an ultimate purpose, that God would be glorified, that God would be seen, that God would be manifest, that God would be exalted, that God would be multiplied. And penultimately, we have to believe the future resurrection of the body that is real and literal. The redemption of our body awaits the believer. These are the two building blocks of enduring and not losing heart. It's not nearly as complicated as we wish it would be. I don't believe you have to read 10 books on suffering to understand this subject. And it's not a question of if ministry will become hard and difficult and frustrating. It's not a question of if people will be dissatisfied with ministry. It's a question of when. And it never changes through the centuries. And for those of us who have ministered, we realize we minister for the glory of God, for the benefit of others, but it's just you're ministering under the umbrella of the curse. And it's painful and it's frustrating. And it's not a question of if your service or ministry will become frustrating or difficult. It's a question of when your service or ministry will become frustrating and difficult, to the point where you want to lose heart and give up and quit and relent in the things of God. Now, in addition, the other side of the coin is the physical body. It's the exact same principle because of the curse. The body in which you live and move and have your being, it is getting worse. And it's not a question of when your physical body will break down and cease and cause you pain. It's a question of when. And godly men for many centuries have approached this passage by saying, the Bible is teaching us in this context, try not to miss this, in order to endure, in order to cross the finish line, in order to not lose heart, in order to not give up, in order to not be frustrated, in order to not give in order to not let the negative consume you related to everything that we live and experience under the curse, related to life and ministry, faith and ministry and the body, the main point of this passage is that we have to view the spiritual element of life as greater than the physical element of life. It's easy to preach about on Sunday morning. It's very, very difficult to hold as a life conviction when you walk out and wake up tomorrow morning. To view the spiritual element of life as greater than the physical element of life. In other words, to endure, to not lose heart, to not give up, to not relent. We see the spiritual element of life as greater and more important than the physical element of life. What does that mean? Ultimately, we're more concerned about the spiritual things compared to the physical things. That's the point, beloved, of the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians. And it's this theme is repeated over and over in the different pages and contexts and chapters, but this is the main point. Let it sink deeply into your heart. In order to not give up, in order to not give in order to not lose heart, you have to allow the Holy Spirit to move you toward the conviction that the spiritual side of the equation of living is more important and more valuable and more weighty than the physical side of the equation of life? Look at verse 16b. Please. Look at verse 16b. But though our outer man is decaying, just take that much. Syntactically, this is very interesting. This is fascinating. You have the Greek condition of fact here. Very interesting syntax. In other words, this is the condition assumed to be true. What does that mean? There's no subjective clause. There's no subjective mood. Since the outer man is decaying, not if the outer man is decaying, but since the outer man is decaying, getting worse, aging, breaking down, deteriorating, a condition of fact that no one escapes, save the rapture, of course. The comparison and contrast here is divinely inspired and stunning between the physical and the spiritual. The body that we see and touch and feel and live in each day, whether you're here today and you're young or you're old, whether you're here today and you're in great physical shape or out of shape, whether you're here today and you're physically attractive in the body or, we'll just let that blank. The body that we see and touch and live in each day, whether you're here today and you're in the absolute prime of your physical life, or you're at the end of your days waiting to meet the Lord, we all have a commonality. We're getting worse physically, not better. And it doesn't matter if you do a juice fast. What is that? Don't answer that. That's rhetorical. It doesn't matter if you do a sugar fast. Who does that? It doesn't matter if you purge the toxins from your body. It doesn't matter if you consult a longevity expert. There are people that call themselves that. I just read an article about longevity science. Terry says, don't roll your eyes. Can you imagine? I'm not even going to start that. I'm just going to stop. The body, the physical body, under the curse, for every single person here, it's getting worse, not getting better. And the juxtaposition, beloved, with the inner man in verse 16 is glorious. Look at verse 16 with me. Though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. What is the inner man? Great question. Let me take you deep into the thoughts of Scripture. The inner man, beloved, put this in your vocabulary if you've never thought this through in a real way. The inner man, beloved, is the redeemed part of you. The soul. The Hebrews call it the heart. It's the part of you that is a new creation in Jesus Christ. It's the part of you that was born again at salvation and regeneration and the new birth. It's the part of you that will live forever, that will never die, even as your physical body will die. Paul calls it the new self. Ephesians 4:24 and in Colossians 3, the new self. Listen to how Paul explained it in Romans 7:22 and 3. I joyfully concur with the law of God in the inner man. The part of me that's saved, the part of me that's redeemed, the part of me that's going to heaven, the part of me that's a new creation in Christ. I love the Word of God, the law of God, the guidelines of God, the commandment of God. I love it. I love it in the inner man, the part of me that's saved and redeemed and new. But I see a different law in the members of my body. This is a great parallel passage that illustrates the principle. that the outer man is decaying, but the inner man is being renewed day by day. Paul says this, I love the law of God and the saved part of me, but my body doesn't even like the Word of God, doesn't even like the things of God, because it's not redeemed, it's sinful, it's fallen. In fact, the members of my body often wars against the law of God. And it sometimes makes me a prisoner of the law of sin, which is in my body. And so the inner part of man is the part of us that is redeemed. It is new. The new self, it will never die. The outer man, the members of the body, the flesh, the part of us born into Adam, it's decaying until its lifespan is extinguished. Condition of fact. And beloved, in order to not give up today, in order to not lose heart, in order to not give in order to not go backwards in the things of God and be frustrated by the vortex of the body and the flesh and the world and the devil and pain in the body and pain in relationships, in order to not give up, in order to not lose heart, please grasp and value, take hold of as your own today the thesis. Hear God speak to you. Be more concerned with the spiritual compared to the physical. And let the Holy Spirit speak to you about that today. I have no desire to nitpick and poke into people's lives. That's what the cults do. Only the Holy Spirit can convict people and encourage people. Not men, not leaders. I implore you, let the Holy Spirit speak to you today. Take an inventory of your life. Is the spiritual dimension of life more important to you than the physical, or is the physical dimension of life more important to you than the spiritual? You see, this is where the breakdown comes. For many people, Demas has forsaken me, loved this present world, Paul says, of one who lost heart and went backwards in the things of God. This is where the breakdown comes. We're teaching, we're proclaiming deep, deep truth from God. But for many, there's a disconnect. There's a disproportionate overemphasis on the things of the world rather than the things of God. And of course, in our study of 1 John, we learned the love of the world is not of God. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life are the components of loving the world. It's a real literal problem. Because love of the world often crowds out, kills, retards one's appetite for the things of the spirit, spiritual things. The outer man is decaying. Why would I love the world? Why would I love the things that are passing away when the outer man is decaying? By contrast, for the believer, all of our days since the new birth until we meet the Lord, the inner man is getting better, while the outer man is getting worse. What a praise. What a great truth. The inner man is being strengthened. The outer man is being weakened. The inner man is becoming more alive, conformed to the image of Christ. The outer man is becoming more dead and corrupt till it meets its end, which is the dust. I want to show you this in conclusion, please. Look at Ephesians chapter 3 with me. We close right here. I want to just develop a few of these thoughts. This was such a blessing for me to think through this again. Let's close in Ephesians chapter 3. This is such a great, important, monumental subject in the mind of the Apostle Paul that he spends a number of verses on this. In Ephesians chapter 3, please, begin in verse 13 with me. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 13, please. I've prayed that this would bless you practically. Verse 13, please, look at it. Therefore, The antecedent there is the preceding context. Paul as a minister, look at the preceding context. What is Paul's ministry, verse 6? What is the mystery here? It's verse 6 to be specific, that the Gentiles are fellow heirs and fellow members of the body, fellow partakers of the promises in Christ Jesus through the gospel, verse 7, of which I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given to me according to the working of his power. Praise God. Look at verse 13. Therefore, as a minister of the mystery of God, that Jews and Gentiles are fellow partakers of the gospel and we're all part of the body of Christ now, as a minister, I ask you, here's our phrase, not to lose heart. This is an age-old problem in and around the church. Don't lose heart at my tribulations. In other words, when ministry is difficult, don't lose heart. When ministry is frustrating for me, don't let that affect you. When people aren't believing or are shunning the truth or are leaving the church, don't look at me and lose your faith and your hope and your confidence. Paul, I love this. I ask you not to lose heart at my tribulations. And just as humble as I can approach this, whatever happens to me in life and in ministry, don't let that affect your faith in a negative way. Please, don't let it. That's what Paul is saying. Don't lose heart at my difficulty, because it's on your behalf. This is for your glory and God's glory. Look at verse 14. I love this for this reason. Now, we see Paul, there's only a handful of these, some six of these recorded prayers of Paul in the New Testament. Here we have one of them before us. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father. Here you get to see Paul's prayer life, the content of Paul's prayer, the passion of Paul's prayer. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, for whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. Look at verse 16. That God, He, would grant you, according to the riches of His, God's glory, to be strengthened with power through His Spirit. Here's our phrase, in the inner man. I love this. This is beyond glorious. This is a prayer for the believer, that God would do the work through the riches of God's glory to be strengthened by God's power through God's Spirit in the inner man of the believer. Paul is praying for the inner man of the Christian. What? So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That you would not lose heart, but that Christ would dwell in your heart through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge. Paul is praying for the believers that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. This is how to pray for a believer that you care about. Paul is praying for God to renew the believer in the inner man, by God's power, by God's Spirit, that we would be strengthened. Our side is important. We have to be renewed in our minds with the Word of God, or we'll be conformed to the world. We let the Word of God dwell in us richly as we confess and repent of sin and deal with sin. We're filled with the Holy Spirit. The big question, how do I get filled with the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit fills you when the Word of God is filling you, indwelling you, convicting you of sin, encouraging you, glorifying the Son. Then you're filled with the Spirit in your life, making the things of God real and literal and tangible. As we submit to the Word of God and the Spirit of God, we are strengthened by God's Spirit in the inner man, in the spiritual part of man, that Christ would dwell in your hearts by faith, through faith. What does that mean? We continue to believe the Word of God, the promises of God, the Holy Spirit of God. We yield to Christ, His Lordship, and Christ finds a dwelling place. It's the word for a comfortable home inside of me. Isn't that wonderful? When Christ has a comfortable home inside of your heart, not just as a visitor passing through that you're uncomfortable with, but Christ finds a home inside of the believer as the believer submits to the Holy Spirit and the Word of God and the Lordship of Christ over us. It's been well said, every believer is indwelt by Christ at the moment of salvation, but he is at home finding comfort and satisfaction only where hearts are cleansed of sin and filled with the Holy Spirit. End quote. This prayer is a model of how to pray, beloved, for people, real believers. And the hardest thing in the ministry at this moment, because there's so much suffering everywhere, physical, I'm talking about physical suffering. The hardest thing in the ministry to say to people related to prayer and real life, but I believe God wants us to hear this today, and I'll say it just humbly as if the Lord was here. Beloved, there's nothing that we can do to reverse the curse of sin, which is physical death, save the rapture of Christ, the coming of Christ before our physical death. There's nothing we can do to reverse the curse of the outer man. I've heard parents often, oh, this is so moving and so touching. You know, I think the hardest thing in life is when young children get sick and die. Isn't that just, that's gut-wrenching to see parents bury children. And I've seen it enough to know. And I've often heard parents say, and I think every parent here would agree, I would, in the snap of a finger, I'd take the place of the sick child and I would be the one sick and I would let them live healthy. And that's how we think, and that's a good word. That's how we feel. We see people we love and we say, I would rather be sick than see them sick. I would take their place in a minute. But you can't take their place. And you can't reverse the curse of sin. The wages of sin is death. And to be sure, in the mystery of God's sovereignty, in the mystery of God's providence, there are things that we can't fathom. Why do young children die? Why do they get sick? Why do they get cancer? Why do they die in accidents? Because the wages of sin is death. And some people live longer, healthy, apparently trouble-free lives, while others live short, suffering lives of pain. But for every one in that illustration, ultimately, we all have an identical end. We're all decaying physically, giving and given enough passing of time, again, excluding the rapture of the Christian. And that's real. There's nothing that we can do. The prayers of believers are not going to reverse the curse of the physical body, because the wages of sin is death. By contrast, the prayers of believers will strengthen the inner man of believers, and the believers need to be renewed day by day. And Paul is praying for this. Paul is praying for this. And it takes place according to the riches of God's glory, to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in that place that never dies, so that the believer, until they meet the Lord, would not lose heart. And when God is doing the miracle of renewing and growing the inner man spiritually, it is then we grasp with other believers the enormous reality of the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, and we're filled up to all the fullness of God. This is a glorious prayer and a great practical way to conclude this message. Beloved, to endure the struggles of the world related to your physical body and your ministry, You have to see and value and believe that the spiritual part of you is more important than anything in this physical world. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, only you can encourage and make this real. We do see the truth of this passage. The outer man is decaying. We see it, we feel it, we see it around us, we see it inside of us, and the outer man is decaying. I pray, dear God, for your precious, precious blood-bought ones here, that their inner man would be renewed day by day. And I pray for them, dear God, I pray for your precious ones that are here this morning, that God, you would grant them, according to the riches of your glory, to be strengthened with power through your Spirit in the inner man. I pray for your precious ones here. This would be true. That Christ would dwell in their hearts through faith, and they would be rooted and grounded in love, and they would be able to comprehend with other believers what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge. Amen. Let's stand, please, as we close.